from 1 Samuel 15. That reference from James was James 2 and verse 10. We appreciate Juan looking that up for us. So Samuel is asking him about the sheep that he hears, which he ought not to hear if they were dead, and the oxen, which he hears, which he should not have heard because they should have been dead. And Saul says, he's making excuses here, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Now, does that mean that we can make substitutions in our worship, or anything else for that matter, but particularly worship, because, well, God will be well pleased for that? Can you take and go do some nice work for somebody, go mow some widow's grass, or take somebody a bill of groceries because they're needing some food, and skip Sunday services? Do that? Well, Galatians 6:10 teaches us, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. Well, doesn't that mean that I can do good at any time? I can just worship God whenever I decide? Well, I didn't get to do it on Sunday, so I'll just go ahead and have my own service on Monday. Is that okay? Well, it's not, is it? Why? Why is that not okay?
Because he told us we should worship on the first day of the week.
Yeah, not authorized, is it? Yeah, it's exactly right. Yes?
Yeah, I'm going to point out, that's a good commandment word, do good and all men. But he says, hey, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves
right.
Together as a minder some is.
Mm-hmm.
But exhorting one another more, you see the day approaching.
That's right.
So both commandments are equal. One is equal to the other.
That's right.
Do good, but worship correctly.
That's right. Now, we don't have the opportunity there to sacrifice one of God's commandments in order to do the other. We pit one against the other, and that's not acceptable. Now, Saul said that he was going to sacrifice these things unto the Lord. Well, God expected them to sacrifice of that which they had. But were they to do that in opposition to God's commandment? No. Why? It's just what Jamie said there. It's not authorized. God told the people, Saul and the people, what He wanted them to do. Now, these are very simple things, really, brethren. But the problem is, the reason why I'm sort of hitting these points and showing you some of these hypothetical excuses that people make, that, brethren, people do that. They actually do those things. Well, they have all types of excuses for not fulfilling the Word of God, whatever it may be, whether it's through attendance or not defending the faith, or maybe they flip-flop things around and they won't do Galatians 6:10, but they'll do something else. Well, you know, God would rather me do something else, you know. And those things aren't acceptable. God gave us all of those things to do for a reason.
A lot of it really reminds you the difference between a small child and an adult.
Mm-hmm.
The adult will give instructions to do something. The child doesn't always understand why it has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And adults do the same thing in relation to God, because it's like it's not clear in our understanding. Well, it's very disdaining to think that we're going to waste all these sheep or cattle.
Mm-hmm.
Or the fact that the men wanted them for themselves. I mean, we find that there's other rationale that's really coming into play.
Mm-hmm.
But it all also says that we learn to do something even though we don't understand it, because we're told to later on, our understanding catches up to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with worshiping God. It's not that we don't understand the instructions. We don't understand the ramifications, if you will, about
what happens later.
Why He wants it this way,
yeah.
And all the understanding that comes in
mm-hmm.
around it.
That's right. So that means that you don't have to understand how everything's going to play out before you obey God. That's exactly what we see happening in Genesis 22, which we'll want to study next week concerning worship and Abraham. Probably won't get to that today. But Abraham didn't know how everything was going to turn out when God had told him to go and sacrifice Isaac. But he was supposed to go, and he did, didn't he? So that's for us. We may not understand everything perfectly, or especially not understand how it's going to play out down the road. Well, I might get hurt if I do that. Or I might have my feelings hurt if I do that. Or maybe somebody will get mad at me sometime. Or maybe I'll hurt somebody's feelings down the road. Well, brethren, the fact of the matter is none of that matters. What does matter is that you do what God tells you to do when He tells you to do it. And that's what He told Saul to do, as we're noticing these verses. Well, Saul has made a lot of excuses. Verse 16, and Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said unto me this night. And he said unto him, say on. Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight. When was Saul little in his own sight?
When God first chose him.
Yeah, you remember he hid himself in the camel's stuff, I think it says, when the people sought to make him king. He hid himself because he was humble. But not now. When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. I've given you this commandment. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? Why have you done these things, Saul? And then Saul continues to say that he's right. He's continuing to try to justify himself. Now, brethren, this is what we see oftentimes. And you may see this even more when preachers have to come against other preachers because they're in error. You'll see this a lot. You'll rebuke them for their error, and they'll make excuses. Rebuke them again, and they keep going because they're haughty in their own minds. Their pride is getting the best of them. And that does happen, and is even happening yet. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, or yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. So he's still holding on that he's been obedient. Samuel's already told him that you haven't. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed. Now, he's trying to blame someone else. Who's responsible for all of this?
King.
Saul. Why? Because he's been set over Israel. Do you think that Saul could have prayed unto God and asked Him for wisdom to guide this so great thy people, as did Solomon? Do you think God would have given him the wisdom to have been able to handle these things? Absolutely could have. But Saul didn't care enough. Well, he's blaming the people now. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, which Saul had brought out the animals for that purpose, so he said, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Well, here's an idea of substitution. I can substitute what I think the Lord will want instead of what the Lord has declared that He wants. Which one has authority? What you think that God wants or what He has said He wants? Yeah. I'm getting a little loud. Maybe I should back up a little bit. I don't want to bother Lisa. I realize I'm getting kind of loud. I don't want Lisa and Gretchen to think I'm yelling at them. Which I'm not.
Got their attention.
I got their attention, yeah. Yeah. Well, notice what he continues to say in verse 22. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Well, weren't they supposed to sacrifice? Well, the main import of this was that the sacrifice that you determined to make was not obedience. To sacrifice when you're supposed to is obedience. And that's why God said obedience is better than sacrifice. And if when sacrifice is part of being obedient, then that's what you should have done. Now, verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Now why? Somebody read Colossians 3 and verse 5. I hope you'll memorize this verse, at least the latter portion of it. Colossians 3 and verse 5. You'll understand why that the writer says this here. Colossians 3 and verse 5, whoever has it. Juan, if you've got it, go ahead.
Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
Covetousness, which is idolatry. Didn't this verse here say that stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry? Why does it say that stubbornness is like idolatry?
You want your way instead of the Lord's way, so it becomes your idol.
Okay, now, what does that have to do with Colossians 3 and verse 5? Covetousness is idolatry. That's saying the same thing, isn't it, Brother Burke?
Exactly.
Why? How? Because you've set something up between you and God. What did Saul set up between him and God that was greater than God to him?
His own will.
Exactly. His own will. I want to do this. I want to save Agag. I want to save these spoils to sacrifice them unto God. And that's why Saul said, I have obeyed the law of God or the Word of God. And God says that isn't right. And what does He call all of that? How does verse 23 open? What is the word there? The subject matter. I don't know if the New King...
Well, rebellion is as sin.
Okay.
Witchcraft.
Rebellion. What did Saul do? He rebelled. Because he didn't do what was authorized. You realize, any of us, any person, us, those here hearing this now, or anybody else in the world, if you refuse and you don't do those things which God authorizes, that you are a rebel. You are in rebellion against God. Now, we would understand if someone does that ignorantly, their heart is not such as a hardened rebel, but have they rebelled against God? Yes. They're acting in that same form of action. And if they continue rebelling against God, their heart will become as a hardened rebel. Because, verse 23, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, He hath also rejected thee from being king. Now what does that mean to us today? Anybody make that application into us today, what He says at the last? Because you've rejected Me, I have rejected thee from being king over My people. What's the application today to us, right here in this room?
We reject Him, we lose our crown.
Yeah.
He who denies Me, I'll deny him.
Exactly. Matthew 10:32-33. Absolutely. That, and as much as we are the anointed of God, that is, that we have been sanctified, I'm talking about, anointed into the priesthood of God, a royal priesthood, we'll be rejected if we rebel. That means we'll lose our souls if we rebel. Now, is there anything more important, more grave to us than losing our souls? Now, if that's the most... Yes, sir?
Yeah, the Lord says, Lord, I promise you, you gain the whole world.
And lose your own soul. That's right. It doesn't make any difference what you gain. If you lose your soul, you've lost everything, haven't you? Yes, sir. Now, if that is the most important thing in life, is going to heaven, shouldn't it be our main priority in everything that we do to make sure that we get there?
That's it, isn't it? That's one of those understanding things where God knows it's the thing that we should value the most.
Yeah.
We may not understand it, but He does.
Yeah, He does. And that also means that we have to come to understand it, doesn't it? If we don't, if anybody that doesn't, he needs to change his way of thought. Or you'll suffer as Saul did, because Saul did not. understand those things. He valued something else above his own soul, or he wouldn't have disobeyed God. And he valued his own will, his stubbornness, and his rebellion. We've got just about a minute or two. Let's turn back to Genesis 35 there. I'm going to study this a little bit more next week because there's some other points I want to make. And we're going to want to study about Abraham in Genesis 22 to understand something about his all of life worship. We're going to understand a little bit more about what can happen about changing worship. Still worshiping, as it were, but changing things when we look at Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And we're going to want to understand that also. And then we're going, well, hopefully as we go through that, we'll understand a little bit more, again, reiterate what Jacob is doing here about these acts of worship. And that they're planned, that they're on purpose. In other words, that he intended to do certain things because God told him to do those things. They were not accidental. In other words, we don't worship God by accident. We have to have a plan. And we have to fulfill it. And God has given us that plan. Got anybody have a question or a comment? Well, I guess I must have explained it all right. There's no question.
Well, you have made a lot of wonderful points that we have to worship God in the way that He wants us to worship. But look what happens today. A lot of most religious men, a lot of them, say, hey, I can go out and join the church of my choice. Then I can worship God any old way. My way will be just as good as His way. Now, if He does that, like you pointed out all these things in the Bible, what God demands, you do it or else you lose your soul.
That's right. Now, let me ask you this as we end. If God authorized one way, does that mean that there's more than one way to do it?
No.
If God authorizes one way to do something that's pleasing to Him, does that mean that there's more than one way to do it?
No.
That's exactly correct. There isn't. And we learned that right here with Saul. There was one way to do what God told Saul to do, and that was to utterly destroy the Amalekites. Saul did it a different way, and it was displeasing. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I'll give you this illustration about myself. When I went in the Navy, they soon impressed upon our mind there's two ways to do things. Your way and the Navy's way, and I guess whose way is right?
Navy way, that's right.
And when it comes to serving the Lord has a way. You may have a way, but whose way is right?
That's right. You remember the Proverbs writer tells us the way that seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof is death, or the ways of death. We can think that it's right, but unless it is right, it's always wrong. Appreciate your attention.